gracious. We thank you, Father God, for your manifested presence, your manifested power, and your manifested goodness today. We thank you, Father God, for the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We thank you for the Word that will go forth and give light and understanding to our hearts and minds in simplistic and clarifying methods and means. We thank you, Father God, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will destroy every yoke of bondage. We thank you for grace deposits and truth impartations by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We thank you for divinely granted utterance, divine illumination, and revelation and impartation. In Jesus' name, we give you all of the praise and the honor and the glory. And everybody said, amen. 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 You may be seated. We'll look at our opening verse again from last week. Again, we're continuing in this thought and theme here. Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, Amplified Classic. It says to us, and let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually. Continually. Everybody say continually. So the peace should be ruling your heart that comes from Jesus continually. Peace, the peace that comes from Jesus should be ruling and deciding in your heart continually. Everybody say continually. In your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds, because sometimes those questions that come in your mind are doubt questions. Doubt-filled questions. These questions come to make you doubt or question whether it's working or not, whether God is doing good things to you or not. And he said that that arises in your mind in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's body, you are also called to live. Everybody say, I'm called to live like that. So you're not called to live frantically and worried and frustrated and fretful. Or frustrated. Let me tell you right up front, if you're frustrated, you're not in faith. If you're full of fear, there's no faith. You're out of faith. You have no faith or low faith. And if you are fretful, you've fallen from faith. You've succumbed to fear and worry and anxiety. Amen. You and I are not supposed to live that way. We're supposed to live through the Lord's peace. Everybody say peace. Now, what does he close? And be thankful. And be thankful. Not be thankless. Be thankful. Appreciative. If we were taking a test on this subject this morning, I would do an appreciatology test. You say, what's that, Pastor? How much do you appreciate the Lord and the people that the Lord sends your way or in your life each week? Amen. Are you an appreciatologist? Are you a thanksgiver? An addicted thanksgiver? Are you a praiseaholic? Amen. Amen. And of course, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Everybody say, and be thankful. And appreciative, giving praise to God always. Always means what? We don't need a dictionary definition. All the time. When you wake up, give thanks. You're thankful. You appreciate God. You appreciate those around you. Hallelujah. So our first question was, how is your thanks living? How is your thanks living? How are you living a lifestyle of thanks, appreciation, praise, rejoicing? Amen. So we said that that this peace should rule us, and then cause us to always, in every situation, give thanks. Sometimes, unfortunately, families don't really get around to genuine thanks until that certain Thursday in the month of November when everybody's around a table and everybody wants to think about Thanksgiving. But you and I should be thinking about it every single day, all during the day. Amen. We should be living thankful and appreciative lives and a lifestyle every time, every day. Amen. But what? Why? Because that peace helps decide and settle questions that arise up here. Now, don't look at me in that tone of voice, because everybody gets 30,000, at least 30,000 thoughts that course through your brain every day, through your mind. 30,000. They say that the average person in a day has about 30,000 thoughts. Now, why do you need the peace of God to rule? Because it needs to decide, like a baseball umpire, like it says here in the scripture, if that's safe or it needs to go out. So if peace is not the peace of the Lord, the peace of Jesus is not ruling, it's never deciding and settling your mind. And then you walk around with these unanswered questions that may have come illegitimately. I mean, through the hands of the enemy. What are you going to do about that? How are you going to get through this situation? I mean, the devil will torment you with questions and the if badges that they're called doubt, fear, unbelief, anxiety. Anxiety is just a word that means your mind is divided. It's torn apart by circumstances. Between what? Legitimate thoughts and destructive thoughts. Guess where destructive thoughts come from? The enemy of your soul. Those destructive thoughts is endeavoring to get your mind divided and ripped apart or torn apart by the circumstances that you're facing at that moment. Could be sickness, could be financial, could be family issues, could be whatever, job problems with the job, you know, whatever. And he brings those questions to get you to slip. Not be settled, but get you to slip from being in Christ and having the mind of Christ to being outside of Christ and in crisis. Can somebody say praise the Lord? And that's how people get sick and people don't sleep well. And they text and call people. And one of the things I'm going to share with you today is that you have to be aware of the snare. So everybody say, be aware of the snare. It's a trap set. The enemy doesn't take a day off. And what he wants to do is trap you and I to get out of peace. And when we're out of peace, we certainly aren't appreciative or thankful for the questions and the doubts and the fears that are coming at us and the worries that are coming at us, coursing through our mind. Can somebody say praise the Lord? So we said this. You need to take a note of this if you haven't already. In other words, we're not to talk about, because thoughts precede actions. Sometimes you got to think about what you think about. You got to think about the words coming out of your mouth. Don't talk about what? Or ponder on, think about, or meditate on what? Things you don't know. The first temptation, if you look at the anatomy of the first temptation in the Garden of Eden, the first thing the devil put in their mind was doubt and questions. I call it TIS, thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. But they're illegitimate. That's why you need to have the peace, the soul harmony that comes from Jesus Christ. Rule. Act like an umpire. Well, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen this morning. You gotta let, okay, is this qualified thought? Is this a qualified to be in my mind thought? You got to break it down like that for you? Am I supposed to be thinking about these things? So we say never, this verse is telling us loud and clear, never, we are not to talk about, think about, ponder on, meditate on things you don't know, things you don't have, things you can't do. Can somebody say amen? Because when you do, you're going to get darker. Things are going to become duller. The answers will become more distant. And I'm talking to you about those vulnerable times in your day when you're all alone. When somebody who doesn't like you at all, who actually hates you, comes and visits you. And he throws tiss in your mind. Thoughts, ideas, I'm using tiss as an acronym, and suggestions. And if you let those thoughts linger, oh my goodness, you're going to get in trouble. You could lose your peace, and definitely you will lose your thanksgiving and appreciation to God always that you're supposed to have. Whew, y'all making me work this morning. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look at this. This is what backs it up. In everything what? Not for everything, but it says what? In everything. Everybody say in everything. Give thanks for it. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God wants you, and his will for your life is to give thanks. Now look at the Amplified Classic. It says it really good. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstance may be. Be what? Not be thankless or not be unthankful, but be thankful. And what? For this is the will of God in Christ, God for you who are in Christ. Everybody say, that's me. The revealer and mediator of that will. So God's will is for you and me to be thankful, to give thanks in all things at all times. So let's evaluate. How do you wake up in the morning? Now, we suggest that, just from mentors that we've been around, that you at least need to do 10 to 12 thanks. Don't get religious about it either. And say, thank you for waking me up this morning. No, you're thanking him for. You first want to thank the Lord for who he is. If you're reading the Bible every day, you should find at least 10 things to 12 things to thank God for who he is. I thank you that you're my very own father. I thank you, Father, that I'm your very own child. I'm the son of your love. I thank you that you're a great God. I thank you that you're my shepherd. You can take Psalms 23. And because you are my shepherd, because you are my Jehovah Rohi, I shall not lack. I do not lack for ability. I do not lack for opportunity. I never lack for money. I thank you, Father God, that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. You own everything in the earth. And I'm your child, and I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. So I thank you today. You'll supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father God, I thank you that you are the source, my only source of everything I need, want, and desire. So I thank you and I esteem you and I praise you. I thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses me and purges me from any and all defilement of the enemy. I thank you, Father God, for the blood of Jesus that perfect that which concerns me spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally, socially, and financially. In Jesus' name, I thank you for the blood. I honor the blood this morning, and I thank you for the blood, that the blood of Jesus Christ, there's nothing in me that the blood can't cleanse. There's nothing in me that the blood can't cure. There's nothing in me that the blood can't change or correct for the better. I thank you, Father God, for the blood. I thank you that because the blood has been applied, every need will be supplied and nothing be denied. Hallelujah. So I enter into rest. I know that I'm blessed. I have passed every test today. In Jesus' name, I thank you for the blood. Hallelujah. I thank you that the blood gives me access into the holiest of all. So I can run into your presence, dear Father God. I can run into your presence without any sense of guilt, fear, condemnation, and inferiority. I thank you, Father God, that because of the blood, you've made me righteous. You've made me holy because of the blood. So I enter into your holiest boldly by the blood. Good way to start your day. Hallelujah. What did he say in Psalms 100? Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. So we always say, what's your password? You're trying to use somebody else's computer or get on their phone or access a program that they're struggling with. What's your password? What's our password? Thank you. What's your password into the presence of God? Thank you. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So when you come into God, you should be coming thankful. You're eating your breakfast. What do? Lord, I thank you if you're by yourself or if you're praying with other people. Lord, we thank you for the food that we're about to what? Receive. We call it into the ministry. We call it in to bring strength and nourishment to our bodies. We thank you, Father God, that that you take sickness away from the midst of us. That's quoting Exodus, right? Our covenant of healing. Hallelujah. You take sickness away from the midst of us. You bless our bread, food, and water. Or drink. Amen. We thank you about that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed and made whole. You can throw in a little bit for TWCC, right? I thank you, Father God, that every need of Time for Work Christian Center is met, and also every need of this household is met in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, for the $9,000 or more in tithes and the $5,000 or more of offerings is coming into the house. The offerings of the Lord at TWCC this month and every month in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that somebody's coming in, walking in with a $25,000 check and giving it to the general office of the Lord. We thank you for the new building, the new land, the new facilities, Father God, that is exceedingly magnificent. We thank you, Lord. Now, food won't cool down, are you saying all that? But in everything, you're giving what? Thanks. Come on, let's do it right now. Come on, just give them thanks right now. Take a thanks break.
Blow my nose.
Come on now, give
them
five thanks.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When the conversation lulls, when you're on the phone with somebody, conversation lulls, what do you say?
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In everything. Because see, are you an appreciatologist? Are you an addicted thanksgiver? Are you a praiseaholic? The encouragement this morning is you should be. Some of us may even need to, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, to double up on your praise and thanksgiving. You're behind schedule. Amen. Because it says praise the Lord, because praise is due unto his name. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, they was crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who's coming in the name of the Lord. And he said, the religious folks are saying, shut up. Tell them to shut up, shut up. Master, tell them to shut up. Shut up. They praise. He said, if they don't praise me, the rock's going to cry out. Are you going to let rocks cry out in your place? We have to learn the power of thanksgiving and translate that to us to live a thankful and grateful life. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to another scriptures. Praise God. Corinthians 15:57. But thanks, let's read it together. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Now, this word gives, if you have your Bible highlighted or circle that word gives, because that's present tense continuum. Present tense continuum. It's not past tense, because some people only thank God for what he has done. But they fail to thank God for who he is and what he promised in his word that he will do. So we want to get you to shift 2/3 of your thanksgiving over to who he is and what he will do before he does it. Before he does it. Before he manifests your healing, you should be thanking him. According to the word of God, I'm healed. See, when you're not in faith, you're waiting to feel and see if I'm healed before I say thank you. But in the faith, in the Christian faith, you have to say thanksgiving before, during, and after. Somebody say praise the Lord. Come on, say thank you, Jesus. Man, that was enough to comb your hair and come to church this morning. Do you thank God before you get to work? If you don't, you'll be in trouble. Are you thankful before you go to Walmart and HEB to spend your hard-earned money on rising grocery costs? Are you thankful when you pick up that 18 carton of eggs and the price is different than next week and it's on the high side? Or do you complain? Come on now. Or do you complain when the milk is, look, man, I bought a quarter of milk, a half a gallon of milk last week, and it was this price. Uh-oh, you're in trouble. Gives. He gives. That means present tense continuum. God continue to give what? Victory. But after we've given thanks. Oh, some of y'all need to swallow that verse right now. You need to chew it like chewing gum. Wear it out. Blow bubbles with it. Come on now. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to be saying victory over my house, victory in my family, victory in my finances. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you can sing that Keith Moore song. That's not, but thanks be to God who gives me the victory. Gives me the victory. Gives me the victory. Now thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Over poverty and debt, my God gives me the victory. Gives me the big, I don't care if you're up in eyeballs and lack and poverty and debt. You're thanking and you're praising before you see it happen. Because he says this is a trigger for getting him to give victory. It's not after. Many of us are good. Thank you. This showed up, and then you get happy. Then you get excited. But what about before? What about during the challenge? Are you thankful? Yes. Praise the Lord. Now look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. Let's read all that, read that together. Ready? Read. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every, what? In every place. In every place. In every space, in every place. By his power and by his grace. He always leads me to triumph. Always. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, always. Always. Turn to somebody else and say, you know what always means? That means all the time. Always, always, always. There's another song that says, always, 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 I triumph again and again. Always, always, always. In Jesus, I always win. Praise God. Always. 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 Like they say about one football player, I won't call his name because some of y'all might get jealous. They say all he does is win. You need to say that about yourself. All I do is win in Jesus Christ. Everybody say always. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Praise God. And that player, by happenstance, this was the MVP of the Super Bowl last year. But anyway, so I'm not biased, but hallelujah. Next slide. Now let's before we get into this one, turn with me if you have your Bible. I don't have this scripture up here, but in Matthew, let's go to Matthew. And we're going to go to Matthew 16, if you have your, I always like you to, let's carry our brick and mortar Bible if you have one. What I mean, brick and mortar Bible, this right here, if you can. You can write in it if you want to. But let's get back, this is Bible month, Global Bible Reading Month, and let's bring your Bible, right, man? Bring your hardcore Bible. Praise God. Matthew 16. Now, many of us know this account. Now, Peter was confessing Jesus as the Christ. He got a revelation. And you have to be, everybody say this with me. Be aware of the snare. Be aware of the trap. Because sometimes, right after victories, some people don't testify or think right. Or they don't thank God properly. Whew. Y'all making me work this morning. Sometimes after revelations or a results, and sometimes you might even come from the doctor and he says, "Oh, your numbers look great. You did this, it's high fiving you," and you get to smelling yourself. And the enemy always tries to do what we call in the Christian circles counterattack than the original attack. So the original attack was, okay, this was happening. The doctor found it. You partnered in faith and you believed God and God worked a miracle, a manifestation in your body. Just using that as an example. And then you go in and you get the results. Test results were negative and this was good. And then you get caught up in the victory side to the point to where you cut out your thanksgiving, your appreciation for who did it, who gave it to you, who gave you the victory. It says, thanks be to God who gives us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we slow down because we want to. I smell myself. I smell pretty good. I did pretty good there. Doctor slapped me high five like I did it. Nurses are congratulating me like I did it. Remember, healing's a grace. Who in us can buy a healing? None of us. Who in us can earn a healing? None of us. Who in here can merit a deliverance or a healing? None of us. So what? He gets all the credit. He gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. He gets all the thanks. But sometimes afterwards, we get to, I did that. You can put it in any area. You get to looking at your savings. Ooh. Look what we did. Look how much money we got in the bank. Everybody say it with me. Beware,
beware
of the snare. So you get to think, okay, I was smart enough. We were smart enough to do that. Who gave you the smarts? Who gave you a sound mind? Who gave you the ability to work and make income or generate increase? Everybody say, beware of the snare. So here's what Peter said. Let's go back and look at it. So he got this revelation, and he's you can imagine the picture. Out of the 12 disciples, he's I got it right. And God told him, Jesus told him, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, who I am. But my Father, where? In heaven. It went over Peter's head. Because from that revelation, what did Jesus start saying? Let's pick it up. Let's read it here. Verse 17. But he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And also that you are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Now he's really, oh my goodness, look at this. God's going to build this church off of me. No, he meant him. He's a little rock, but the revelation was that Jesus is the cornerstone, the big rock. And he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. In other words, hold this revelation, guys, until time. And then Jesus transitions to predict his own death and resurrection. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples he must go to Jerusalem. Now, they just had a victory of revelation. And he said, and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised the third day. So he's telling them his future. That, guys, I got to go suffer. I got to go be given up to the hands of killers. And on the third day, I'll raise again. And Peter then, he's full of pride. You got to see it, how I'm painting the picture here. He said, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Everybody say, beware of the snare. So he's trying to publicly correct him, chastise him. Far be it from you, Lord, that this shall happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, what? When a lot of times when we're most vulnerable is right after the victory. He said, you are an offense. Everybody say offense. Now, if you got the Bible, you can write in, right or underline that circle. In other words, a stumbling block or hindrance. What is a stumbling block or hindrance to Thanksgiving and being thankful and appreciative of the plan of God, of the call of God, of the will of God for your life? Jesus was just outlining the plan. Guys, it's coming up. We're going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise from you. But I'm telling you about the plan. I'm talking about the future. I'm talking about the plan of God, the will of God for my life. And Peter says, no, you don't have to do that. One translator says, he said, pity yourself. Both pride and pity are traps of selfishness. Pride is the strength of sin and selfishness. Because when you think I did it, or you don't have to do that, you have an I problem. What's in the middle of pride? P-R-I-D-E. And I'm not talking about these problems with your eyes. I'm talking about an I problem. Me, myself, and I. So sometimes we twist the testimony. And it makes us look good. But it doesn't make God look good. We want people to be impressed with what has happened to us instead of what the Lord has done and showed us. Look, I got these blessings. Everybody say, beware of the snare. So he says it this way in the New Living Translation. Look at this. Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. What's a human point of view? Pride, self-pity. I did it. Look what I did. Look what I got. Look what I accomplished. It's I, me. That's a trap. Everybody says that's a trap. That'll trap you in a unthankful life. And being unthankful is the same and synonymous with being unholy and ungodly. Because God said, this is your will that you give thanks. This is the will of God that you give thanks in everything. When you become unthankful, you become unholy and you become ungodlike. Because you're basically putting all the credit and the accomplishments and accolades to who? I'm the big boss with the hot sauce. I'm better than sliced bread. And people want to make themselves look good, but they don't know the trap of pride, which leads before destruction. Is I don't want to make God look good. I want to make my. You just have to scroll on social media for about 30 minutes. Man, you see lots of pride. Look at me. God does not share his glory. He jealously guards his glory. And then pity says, well, there's not enough people helping me. So Peter was telling Jesus, pity yourself. Do you know that's a temptation? He rebuked Jesus, the Son of the living God, who he just got a revelation and says, pity yourself. He's tempting Jesus to sin. And he got rebuked. He should have. Get thee behind me. How do we do it today? Our spouse, our family member, they come in and start moping and mumbling and grumbling. What's wrong, baby? And they lay on the bed, and you go and rub their head and rub their back. Everybody say, beware of the snare. And then next thing you know, what do they want? They want attention. Misery tends to love company. That's not a Bible truth, but it is a world cultural thing, right? And they want somebody to rub on their head and feel sorry for them because I'm suffering so unmercifully. Oh, you just don't know the trouble I've seen. And when it comes to our kids or our spouses, sometimes we get weak. Oh, it's going to be all right. And we pet a powder. Never pet a powder. Oh, did I get in trouble right then? You get caught up in the trap with them. And sometimes we play lawyer or counselor, and we just basically tell the Holy Spirit, move out of the way. I'm going to comfort them. Instead of taking by the hand, say, let's pray in the Holy Spirit. Let's get to Jesus. Let's get that depression and that despair and that discouragement off of you. Why are you walling around like that? Do you remember, do you know what Jesus done for you? Do you know what Jesus can do for you right now? That you know that he's Lord, he can run to your aid, he can relieve you, he can assist you. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Come on now, God is your strength. Let's begin to thank him for his strength. Beware of the snare. There was a lady one time. How much time I got? Where am I? Okay, I'm still good. There was a lady who one time, one of our instructors was ministering to her. She was a minister, and she had gotten really, really heavy and bedridden. She was so weak in faith that she stopped ministering, and she stopped eating. She couldn't keep any food down. And so he said to them, hey, guys. And he said to her, he walked up to her in the back. She could barely breathe. She said, "Where's Brother Keith Moore? I'm so weak." And see, some people just want people to give them attention and stroke them while they're wallowing in self-pity. Whether it's self-pity or pride, the root of it is sin and selfishness. Y'all still love me? You don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good right now. So he's down there. So he first had to get her to change her mouth. And sometimes we had to do that too as Christians. We had to stop and say, what am I thinking like this? Why am I still in the bed at 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock in the afternoon with the sheets over my head? When the Lord's made this day, what am I supposed to do? I will, that's a choice. I will what? Rejoice and be. So she up there in the bed, laying down, depressed, thinking, I'm so weak. And she's telling Brother Keith all this sad song. She's wallowing in self-pity. He had to get her to stop. And in those cases, you know, you had to look to the Lord. Look, Lord, what do I tell her? How do I minister? He said, well, get her to be quiet. Because sometimes you got to stop before you start something new. You got to stop and change. Wait a minute. Stop. Instead of running around my house complaining and grumbling and moaning and mumbling, I got to change. I got to create an atmosphere of praise in my house. I got to litter the atmosphere with thanksgiving and rejoicing. Amen? Man, this is worth 10 hours of psychology or going to a therapist. Praise the Lord. So she's there, and he looked to the Lord, and the Lord gave him one verse. Let the weak say, I am strong. Over in Joel chapter 3, verse 10. Let the weak say I'm strong. He said, let's not say that. Let's start saying, I am strong. So he's the beginning leader in a confession. I am strong. Say it. She could barely say it. I am trying to catch her breath. I'm strong. She's still working through that. See, feelings are to follow your faith. Not feel it, then be in faith. Oh, that's for somebody in this room. Feelings have to follow your faith. Don't depend on your feelings, your flesh, what you see. Speak the word of faith, and it'll bring you victory. Amen. So she said, I'm strong. Now, sat there for about 30 minutes saying, I'm strong. After a while, her strength got quickened and revived in her. I'm strong. She was yelling so loud, people two blocks down could hear her. I'm strong. Thank you, Lord. I am strong. So she's sitting on the side of the bed. She's out of the bed. She's sitting on the side of the bed. She's got both hands lifted this time. She's saying, I am strong. I thank you that I am strong. 2 blocks away. Well, sister, let's eat something. Yes. Get me a Mexican meal. She wanted enchiladas. And then she says, I want steak, too. She couldn't even hardly keep soup down. Broth soup. Thanks be to God. Who what? Gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. This applies to your car breakdown. You got house trouble. You got financial trouble. You got other problems in your body. This applies to all areas. In everything, what? Give. That's what God wants you to do. That's God's will for you to do it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's just introduce this, and I guess we'll pick it up next week. The law of attraction. Uh-oh, it disappeared. No, there it is. 1 Peter 4:9 says, be hospitable to everyone without what? Okay, we got to guard ourselves. Now, we said at the beginning of the year, I'll say it here toward the end of the year, you've got to keep certain scriptures in your mouth to keep your flesh from complaining and grumbling this year and next year. You got to keep Philippians 2:13 and Colossians 2:13 in your mouth, coming out of your mouth. Philippians 2:13 says, God, it is God who works in me to both will and do of his great good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. So God needs to be working in you. When God's working in you, he's working on you to work out of you. How much is God working in you? It's what you allow him to through your faith and confession. It is God who works in me mightily to will and do of his good pleasure. What's his will? In everything give thanks. To be thankful in every circumstances, no matter what the circumstances may be, to be thankful and give thanks. That's part of God's will. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So I gotta be hospitable to everyone, not hostile. It doesn't say hostile with everyone. It says be hospitable to everyone, one another, without what? So we have to make it our aim to have no complaints. No complaining. And sometimes we get around the house and we think, I can let down my hair. I can just start complaining and grumbling and murmuring about stuff and murmuring about the kids and murmuring about my siblings and murmuring about my problems and my pain. No, that is unauthorized language as a believer. Whew. Look at James 5:9. Passion Translation. Since each of you are part of God's family, never what? Complain or grumble about who? So that judgment will not come upon you. What? I thought I'm under grace, Pastor. Yes, you are, but you can open the door for judgment to come upon you because you start complaining about other people. That pastor takes too long. He's always teaching us. You should be going home and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going somewhere where I'm being fed and taught. Praise God. Even if he steps on my toes, I say, ouch, but thank you, Lord. Yeah, always give thanks. Even if he's correcting me. Yes, sir, I received that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You don't get offended. You don't get grumbled and start complaining. What is he talking about me? Why is he reading my mail? No. So that judgment for the true judge is near and very ready to appear. That means God is not long distance. He's not a distance God. He's not a distance Lord Jesus. They're ready. They're watching. They're responding to this, your mouth. You got to watch the habit of always complaining about the weather, about the prices, about gas, about the traffic. Come on now, about how hot it is, how cold it is, how sweaty it is, how praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. So here's the law. Did you know what whatever gets in your mind and stays there will attract it into your life? Yes, we go back to the first part about our thoughts. The law of attraction. That's the law. As believers, we call it recognized by the scripture. Look at this. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, look, what you think about, you bring about. What's on your mind today? November the 9th, 2025. Are you going to keep on the mind this week? What you going to keep on the mind this week, this month, this holiday season? Isaiah 26:3 says he will keep him in what? Perfect peace. Peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Nothing lacking. Wholeness, soundness. That sounds like good stuff to me. Keep. He'll keep you in peace, peace, when your mind is stayed or fixed on him. Not on your problems, not on yourself. Amen? Look at what Philippians 4:8 says. Whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if anything's praiseworthy, if virtuous, praiseworthy, think on these things. Meditate on these. We're supposed to be thinking on good things, godly things, things about Jesus, not things about our junk. What's on your mind? Whatever gets in your mind and stays there, you're going to attract it. Amen. So here's the thing. God will go to work, go to work and fight your battles for you. But if you're going to keep that goal, that dream before your eyes, you have to express what? Gratitude and thanks when? Before the dream and the desire of your heart has even happened or manifested. Everybody got that? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Come on, we got to lift our hands and thank God for that. You got to give thanks and gratitude before the desire or the dream ever happens or manifests. So in other words, we'd say it this way, thanksgiving is tied to your victory. Now, as I said before, by the Spirit, some of you might have to double up on your thanksgiving and praise because you're behind. Father God is saying from above, I've given you victory. This is a present tense continual. Every day that you need victory, I'll give it to you, but it's tied to your thanksgiving. So the miracle and desire of being free, furnished, filled, financially flourishing, fully funded, flowing in your situation, fixed by the hand and help of God, have to be praised and thanked when in advance prior to these things happen. Our expectation and excitement demonstrate our faith in action, and we are fully persuaded to believe and receive all that God has promised, planned, provided for us in November and 2026 and beyond. Complaining and focusing on the negative things you don't like, you dislike about yourself. I'm too fat. I'm too ugly. I don't like that mark. I don't like this. Your family. Sometimes people get around the holidays, they start bringing up old tapes, old records, and they start talking about, bring it back. Remember back when you would, you think that's funny and kidding, but that's really harmful to your family. That's really ungodly talk in the family. Amen. Your job, your feelings, your emotions, your finances will keep you trapped in what you don't want. Any of us want to be trapped in what we don't want? No. So whatever you focus on expands and enlarges. Expressing gratitude before seeing your desired results, goals, and dreams will cause things to shift in your life. Remember, if you complain, you'll remain, but if you praise, you'll make progress. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you complain, you'll remain. Purpose this day. I'm going to terminate, eradicate, and eliminate that complaining, critical spirit. Stop being quick to call out other people's flaws, their failures, and their shortcomings. Praise God for them. Even in their imperfect state, praise God and thank God for them. Because when you do, you remember and value them bigger and better. And for God's sake and for your sake, you will open up your capacity to receive more. The only thing that limits us and causes lack is the slack in our praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, hallelujah. You have to do this intentionally and on purpose. Give thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, I'm saying thank you, but nobody else is saying thank you. Come on, you got to say thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on now. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord. We give praise to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now, whatever head bowed, every eye closed, if you have the Lord talking to you about this in any area, we want to pray for you. If you need prayer, we're going to dismiss, but we want to dismiss with you praying for each other. And at least when you leave, I want you to, on purpose and intentionally, from your heart, genuine faith, give thanks for three people around you, three or four different people around you. Don't just turn to